Mr. Moderators, honorable opponent, ladies and gentlemen, we're certainly happy for the privilege of representing our brethren of the apostolic Pentecostal faith in this area of the country. And as Mr. Sutton has said, we are certainly thankful to the Lord that he has made it possible for us to, as speakers, he and I, of course, as well as all you fine people, to be back here tonight for another biblical discussion. I believe in these discussions, and I think it has already been proven that we can have decent Bible discussions. And I trust that it will continue as it has started. I thank a lot of Mr. Sutton, one of the finest young men I believe that I've ever met in discussion. I wouldn't say the finest, I'd say one of the finest. In fact, he's too nice a fellow to be messed up like he is in his doctrine. I hope I can straighten him out while I'm here. I asked him the first day I met him if there was any water around here close where I could baptize him. I mean business, folks. I never come here just to talk. That's right. I want to help Mr. Sutton. The disciples needed their understanding open, and the Lord opened it for them. And I would like to help Mr. Sutton any way I could. He spent most of his time tonight asking me questions. And, of course, he's supposed to be in the affirmative, of course, but he's been asking me to explain Ephesians 4:4 and different scriptures, and I'm going to help him all I can. Certainly am. I'm going to do my best to help Mr. Sutton understand all these scriptures. But first, I'd like to call attention to the fact that he is supposed... You know one thing he did during that speech? He actually confessed that there was only one body in the Godhead. And that's exactly what I was supposed to prove. I've done a good job, I think. We've convinced him on the first night. He got up here and confessed that there's just one in the Godhead. What about that? He is supposed to prove that there are three separate and distinct persons in the Godhead. He shouldn't have signed this proposition if he wasn't going to prove that they are separate and distinct. The word separate means disunited, to disconnect, to sever, to put asunder, to separate. Notice those things, to part, to divide. He's supposed to divide these. He's not supposed to get up here and agree with my side of it, that they're all one, that they're just one body, and they're not three different temples or bodies of flesh and bone. He went to a lot of trouble trying to fix all that a while ago, but he's done already signed the proposition that he's going to prove that they are separate. They are distinct from each other. I want you to notice that. The word distinct means to separate. It means a separation into parts, means divided or apart. Separated and in a section, sections. Now, he is supposed to do that. You know, it's right amusing to watch him on these charts. I wish they would turn this back now to where they started a while ago on these charts, because I like to teach from charts, and I like to teach from these Church of Christ charts, too. That's right. I honestly do. I like to teach from them, and it makes it a lot easier on me. That's right. And I want you to notice something about these charts especially. It's right amusing to me. I've been thinking about it today, even on my journey up here. Had a nice trip by plane, and while I was riding above the clouds, I was thinking about this discussion, and it's right amusing how Mr. Sutton will put all these scriptures up on the charts. And he knows, before he puts them up here, that we're not going to deny the scripture. We are not here to deny scripture. And I want to show you something, and you'll have to agree with this statement. You'll have to agree with this, and if you'll just pay close attention, you'll know I'm telling you the truth. Now, let's notice way up here first. Now, all these scriptures he's got numbered 1, 2, and on through 40, and then he has in red over there those scriptures, of course, and where they're found. Well, he knows I'm not going to deny those scriptures and what those scriptures say. But listen, right at the top of this chart over here, he's got three persons in the Godhead. Now, on all these things here, I notice he's got a scripture over there. I wish he'd have put a scripture way up off the top. Huh? Now, listen, if any of these scriptures said there's three persons in the Godhead, he ought to put them up there. He you ought to put something right after the one side of three persons of the Godhead. Friends, that's not in the Bible. It's true that these scriptures mention Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but the scriptures nowhere mention or teach the fact that there are three separate, distinct persons from each other. He hasn't read it nowhere. I'm still asking him to read it. I put a little block up here and told him to put one verse of scripture in there that taught or said that they were three separate, distinct persons. Now, I want you to follow me closely tonight, because we're going to take up his argument just as near like he presented it as we possibly can. Right in order, as he has brought it tonight. He made a nice little speech and said some good things. But you know, if I wasn't here tonight to go over these scriptures, he might leave some of you confused. But thank God I'm here to explain these scriptures. I want to show you something. I'm sincere. I want to show you something. First thing he did, he was mentioning the fact that he had showed 40 scriptures. And he said this now. I jotted it down. It's on tape. He said he had presented or showed 40 scriptures that mention three persons in the Godhead. I deny that tonight. He hasn't showed one scripture that mentioned three persons in the Godhead. That's on the tape, Mr. Sutton. You said them scriptures you put up there mentioned three persons. Mentioned three persons in the Godhead. Not a word of them mentioned three persons in the Godhead. He lost the debate when he said that. Then he asked the question. He said, Mr. Payne, I want you to be sure and tell us what them three are. Well, I'm supposed to answer him with the scripture, so I'm going to let the scripture tell it. You know what the scripture says them three are? 1 John 5:7 says these three are one. It says that these three are one. And that's exactly what I'm supposed to prove. He's done got me in the affirmative, because he went asked all these questions tonight. And I don't mind it. I like it. But the Bible says, 1 John 5:7 said these three are one. Now I know he keeps saying, one what, Mr. Payne? One what? I'll tell you what. One God. That's what they are. That's what the Bible teaches. That these three are one God. Bible don't teach two gods. Mr. Sutton, John 10:30. I want you to forget this now. John 10:30. This is scripture. This is not my idea and opinion. In John 10:30, Mr. Sutton, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And you won't deny that. But I'll put that up here where Jesus said, I and my Father are one. I want you to put a scripture up here that says, where Jesus said, I and my Father are two. I and my Father and the Holy Ghost are three. We're talking about scripture, folks. The scriptures teach. The scriptures do not teach three separate, distinct persons of Godhead. He's got 40 scriptures up here, and not one of them say anything about them being three persons in the Godhead. Are you going to accept what he says or the Bible? Mr. Sutton, you're the Bible one's wrong. I believe it's you. I believe it's you. Them three are one. The Bible plainly says that. It didn't say anywhere that they were three separate, distinct persons. Now, let's come here to this. I certainly want to use this. He might have thought I'd be afraid of this, but I'm glad he's got this up here. Now, this is what I want you to notice. He said that I just said God is a person. I want to say something here, and I know the tape will get me. I don't mind being quoted on it. I did not say that God did not have a person or was not manifested in a person, because I do believe that God had a person, that God was manifested in a person. He was manifested in a person, and that person that God was manifested in was Jesus Christ. That is God's person, and he read it himself a while ago. I want to call your attention to that too. Now don't forget that. The Bible does not teach that God is a separate person from Jesus. It teaches that Jesus was his person. Colossians 2:9 said, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, which means the completeness. Now, Mr. Sutton, if all the Godhead bodily is complete in him, fullness in him, then what's the need of you looking for another one somewhere? What's the need of looking for another person of Godhead when the Bible plainly says that in him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily? Of course, as old Brother Welch says, if he lives to be old enough to make Methuselah look like a schoolboy, he won't never find the scripture that teaches that Jesus Christ is a separate person from God. Bible don't teach it. It's not in there. He may read all these scriptures. It mentions the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Listen, in discussions, I like to take time out to defend the teachings, not only of the New Testament and the scriptures, but the brethren of the apostolic Pentecostal faith. The ones who believe this great truth that we're presenting tonight, we are misrepresented many times. I wouldn't say just because people want to misrepresent us, but because they don't understand what we believe. They don't know what we believe. Friends, we do not deny there being a Father, a Son, and a Holy Ghost. The Bible plainly teaches it. But the Bible does not teach, and we do not believe that they are separate, distinct persons, because it's not in there. I'm still asking. Your phone's ringing, Mr. Sutton. Won't you pick it up and answer it? Tell us the scripture that says there's three persons in the Godhead. Come on. Listen. I said that Jesus, that God, let me go back to the very wording that I had already said. I did not say that God did not have a person or was not manifest in a person, but I will say that he is manifested in a person and was manifested in a person. And that person was Jesus Christ. Now, before I get to Hebrews 1 that he has already mentioned here, didn't the first chart have Hebrews 1 on it that you mentioned, Mr. Sutton? I believe it did.
No, that's not it. I think 13 was the first time.
Hebrews 1 and 3 on my page 2 of my notes. Would you call time out right here till we decide that? Could we? I thought Hebrews 1 was the first one that he...
It's the chart that says, can a spirit be a person? This is what number that is.
Here's one. That's one of them, that's true. But I'm talking about... Well, he started over here, didn't he?
Number 20. Chart number 20.
I know he started over here.
Chart number 21. That's 21 there. Come back in.
Come back one. All right.
Now, let's be
on Hebrews had Hebrews 1 and 3 on it, but it wasn't the first scripture now. It was...
Chart number 20.
Yeah. That's it. I want to mention something that he said there about the persons. About me being a person and having Jesus in me. Now, Mr. Sutton knows just as good as I know that the person of Jesus Christ don't get in nobody. He knows that. He says a lot about Christ. Of course, if he hangs around me much, I'm going to make him call his name every once in a while. I've been trying my best since I got here to him discuss that name with me. I don't know whether I won't be able to do anything with him or not while I'm here this time, but I'd like to get in on this round, this Bible discussion, because I believe God's got a name. I believe he's not a dummy, he's got a name too. He can talk and he's got a name. But talking about a person having a person in them, it is impossible for one person to get in another person. Jesus Christ as a person does not get in anybody, whether it's in the Church of Christ or wherever it is. He doesn't. People who believe today that you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost like the Bible teaches it, can receive the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Of course, you have to believe it now to get it. But I believe there's some people that believes it and has received it. I mean the Spirit of Jesus Christ, because the Spirit of Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost. And I can prove that. I can prove that the Spirit of Jesus Christ is the one and same Spirit of the Holy Ghost. These brethren cannot deny it. Mr. Sutton can't deny it. Because John 14, before I come back there to Hebrews 1 and 3, while I'm on this, I'd like to mention that. Now, that's John, the 14th chapter, of course. And the sixth verse, Jesus said, I am the truth. That's what Jesus said. I'm the truth. Now you say that's off the subject. No, it didn't, because the 17th verse says that the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the truth. Now if Jesus is the truth and the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the truth, then the Spirit of Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost. That's a good one to chew on, Mr. Sutton. I want you to think about that now. And the 26th verse says that the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. Now, let's get these things together. I'm not trying to puzzle anybody. I'm just trying to show you something right here. Jesus said, I'm the truth. 14:17 says that the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the truth, which makes the Holy Ghost the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Then, the 26th verse says that that Holy Ghost is a Comforter. And Jesus said, he's telling them about getting the Comforter over there. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come. He didn't say, I'll send the third person in the Holy Trinity, but I'll come. What do you mean, Jesus? I mean, I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. How is he going to get it to you? He said, I'll come. That didn't mean he's going to come in person into someone. It meant that he would put his Spirit into them. And his Spirit is the Holy Ghost. That's some more good stuff for him to think about. Mr. Sutton, you got to sleep with your conscience tonight. And I hope you'll prayerfully consider these things and be honest-hearted. Because, listen, you're an intelligent man. If you'll try, you can see this great truth. That's right. God will open your understanding and let you see it just like he has others. Now, Hebrews 1:3. Let's come back to that thought. I said that God was manifested in a person. The Bible said God is a spirit. But that God, that eternal spirit, was manifested in a person. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the 14th verse says that that Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. That's when God was manifested in his person. Now Hebrews 1:3, that has been mentioned several times, did not say that God was a separate and distinct person from Jesus Christ. But it does teach that Jesus Christ was God's person. He's got it up here on the board. I still don't see the Hebrews 1:3. You had it on there someplace. Care? That's right. God is a person. Now, friends, this scripture don't say God is a person. He wrote that out there in explanation of it, all right? That's kind of like the scripture over here that he said in number 19 here, Job 13:8. He's got up there, Job thought God was a person. Now, isn't that something to put up on a chart? Somebody thought somebody was a person? I wonder what brought the doubt in your mind, Mr. Sutton. How come you couldn't put up there, Job knew he was a person? He didn't think nothing about it. But for some reason, he said Job thought God was a person. Mr. Sutton, I want to give you a scripture to add to that. You ought to put the 10th verse over there to one side. That teaches that God is against those. Against those. Let me get that. I want to read that just like it is, because it is very important tonight that we get this. Job chapter 13 verse 10, he will surely reprove you if you secretly accept persons. Now that is Job 13:10. He ought to add that. He said Job thought God was a person. That scripture didn't say Job thought God was a person. Didn't do it. We're talking about what the scripture teaches, folks. I tell you what the 10th verse did say. It said God here, notice this now, he will surely reprove you if you secretly accept persons. Better watch that, Mr. Sutton. God will be reproving you. I won't be the only one that's calling your hand. God will reprove you. I want you to notice these things. Don't forget them, because you got to sleep with them tonight. That's right. Now, Hebrews 1:3, you know what Hebrews 1:3 says. That is a wonderful scripture. He doesn't have it up here on this chart tonight. He merely mentions the fact that God is a person, but Hebrews 1:3 doesn't say God is a person. But it teaches there that Jesus Christ is the express image of God's person. And that's exactly what I am supposed to prove. I was supposed to do it tomorrow night, but he got me in the furnace tonight. He made it possible for me to really get into the furnace by asking me all these questions and asking me to explain his chart. Now, it was really his duty to explain this, but he asked me to do it, so I thank him for permission to do it. The Bible, the Hebrews 1 and 3 does not say God is a person, but it does teach that Jesus Christ was the express image of God's person. I'll tell you what else the Scripture says too. And we're talking about what the Scriptures teach. And he won't deny this because he knows this. The Scriptures teach that Jesus was the image of the invisible God. God is invisible. God is a spirit. He is invisible. But Jesus Christ was the visible part of God. Jesus Christ was the image that could be seen of the invisible God. That's why he could tell Philip, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Now, follow me closely. As we go along here, I want you to notice something else. Luke 24:39 says, he used a scripture, that a spirit hath not flesh and bones. Spirit hath not flesh and bones. He's wanting me to tell whether or not there's three separate distinct persons in the Godhead. Mr. Sutton, that's your job. You're the one supposed to prove that. Tomorrow night will be time for me to actually answer a lot of these questions that he is putting up tonight. Of course, I'm getting to all of them that possibly can tonight, but I've got to, of course, not only answer in the affirmative, but there's some other thoughts here that I certainly want you to get. It is true that a spirit hath not flesh and bones. And he asked me the question. Now, that's true. Spirit don't have flesh and bones. Jesus is the one that said that. He was a person of God. And he did have flesh and bones. And that was the personality of God, because in him dwells all, not part of it. Listen, not one third of it. According to what Mr. Sutton's teaching, just one third of the Godhead body was in Jesus. Come on now. Mr. Sutton, according to what you're teaching, just one third of the Godhead body belongs to Christ. But that's not what the scriptures, that is what Mr. Sutton said. Now, Mr. Sutton, if the scriptures one's wrong, I believe it's Mr. Sutton. I believe this. I'll take the Bible anytime. I think he's a nice fella. I really like him. But I'll take the Bible anytime in preference to that. Because the Bible said, in him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead body. Now, he wanted to know, after I die, I hope he don't get so sore at me that he wants me to die. I don't think he will, but he's already talking about me dying already. He wants to know, what's going to happen to me after I'm dead? Well, if I keep believing and preaching and teaching what I'm teaching now, of course I believe I'll be a child of God. When I die, and the Bible teaches that God's coming. That's what the Bible teaches, that God's coming. And that he is going to give me a body just like his. Huh? Didn't say he's going to give me a body like theirs. But he's going to give me a body like his. You know, he could easily say his because it wasn't but one, anyhow. Just one body. Now, I know that the one body is speaking of the church in Ephesians 4. But listen, he knows himself that the body of Jesus Christ is typical of the church. It's used throughout the scriptures as being typical of the church. We're not discussing tonight what the church is, what the body of Christ is in that respect to the church. But we're discussing whether or not there's three separate, distinct persons in the Godhead. If he don't get busy, you know he's going to be lost this debate if he don't put one scripture up here that teaches that. He hasn't yet. Don't teach it, folks. But he won't know what I'd be after, what kind of body I'd have. Well, the Bible says that I'll have one like his. That's right. Like unto his own, be fashioned like unto his own glorious body. Now, I mean, he wanted me to answer that, so I answered. You might say it's not concerning the subject. Well, he asked me, and I wanted to answer it for him. I want to have him all I can while I'm here. I might not get to see him no more. Now, here's a good one. I want you to really get this. He used that word and, A-N-D. He really stressed that tonight. A-N-D. And he wanted to make you believe, and he might have done if I hadn't been here. He wanted to make you believe that that word "and" separated them persons, one from the other. Now that's right, Mr. Sutton. You won't deny that. He wanted to show you that when it said the Lord and, or Jesus and the Father, that it separated them and made them two separate distinct persons. Mr. Sutton, when you get back up here, you tell us about that scripture that says God and the Father. How many persons is it? You done got four in there now. You had three to start with. You got four in there now. Because it says God and the Father. If "and" separates two persons, then God the Father is two separate distinct persons. I hope he sees where he's going and kind of puts on his brakes and mends his ways. I'm trying to help him. Now, "and" does not separate persons in the Godhead. If it does, God the Father is two separate distinct persons. That's right. Now, I want you to notice something else here. He wanted me to explain Ephesians chapter 4 and 4 to 6. And I'll gladly do that tonight. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 4 to 6. I want you to notice this, because this is certainly a good and something that needs to be thoroughly explained. There's a wonderful thought in this verse tonight. Ephesians 4. Now I want to use something here on the board. I hope Mr. Sutton will remember and has made notes of this that I've asked him to mention when he gets up here and not forget it. But I certainly want to get this in. It says that there is one Lord. There's one Lord, and there's one let's put the one Spirit first. There's one Spirit, and there's one Lord, and there's one God. That's what the Scripture says. Now listen, I want you to get this. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says that the Lord is that Spirit. Now he wants to explain this. I'm going to let the Bible that we're talking about as the Scripture says. One Spirit, one Lord, one God. Now the Bible says the Lord is that Spirit. That's what the Scripture said in 2 Corinthians 3:17. The Lord is that Spirit. Jeremiah 10:10 says the Lord is the true God. First it says the Lord is that Spirit. Then he said the Lord is the true God. That's what it says.
You have 3 minutes.
The Lord is the Spirit, and the Lord is the true God. And Acts 9:5 says that the Lord said, "I am Jesus. I am Jesus. I'm Jesus." Now, I want him to do something with that when he comes back up here. One Lord, one Spirit, one Lord, one God. And the Lord said, the Lord is that Spirit. The Bible says the Lord is that Spirit. And that the Lord is the true God. And Jesus said, "I am the Lord." Now, is that three separate distinct things? That puts them all together. It certainly does. I've got some questions here that I want to hand Mr. Sutton for his consideration. And the first one is this. If the Father and the Holy Ghost are separate and distinct persons from the Son, I'm going to give him this copy. It says, if the Father and the Holy Ghost are separate and distinct persons from the Son, are they persons just like Jesus? Don't forget that now. Is the spirit and soul of a man separate and distinct persons from the body of a man? Was the one incarnated in the child Jesus a separate and distinct person from the Holy Ghost? If the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Trinity, then how is he the Father of the second person or the younger person? Is the Father and the Holy Ghost, or if the Father and the Holy Ghost, are two separate and distinct persons from the Son and from each other, then which one overshadowed Mary and is the Father of Jesus the Son? The last scripture, I'm not going to be hard on him, I'm just going to give him 6 questions here. The last one is this. Is the Father, or if the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are three separate distinct persons from each other, as he's trying to prove, which one of them, Mr. Sutton, is the Almighty God? And when you tell me which one of them is the Almighty God, then I want you to tell me what his name is. Please consider them.
Your time's up.